Gopi Jana Bala Bhagi Badadhari. Jaya Gopi Jana Bala Bhagi Badadhari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Banachari. Jamuna Tira Banachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunda Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunda Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunda Bihari. Jayam Vishnupad Paramahansa Paribhajakacharya Astotarasata Sri Shriman His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Anantakoti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai Prem Sri Gaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Sri Gadadhar Srivas Adi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Sri Sri Radha Shama Sundar Gopa Gopinath Shamakund Radhakund Giri Govardhan Ki Jai Sri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai Mathura Dham Ki Jai Navadweep Dham Ki Jai Jagannath Puri Dham Ki Jai Jagannath Swami Ki Jai Jamunamayi Ki Jai Gangamayi Ki Jai Bhakti Devi Ki Jai Srimati Tulsi Maharani Ki Jai Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Gopremanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Glories to Srila Prabhupada. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharane Nirvishesha Sanyavadi Pasyat Chade Satarane Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai Goa Premanandi. So, continuing on in our third canto studies, chapter 22, which is the marriage of Kardama Muni and Devahuti. Today's text is text number 15. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Udirayet Nasta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nicham Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naistaki. Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest, one should first offer respectful obeisances unto the personality of Godhead, Lord Narayan, unto Narayan Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, to Srila Vyasadeva, the author, and Srila Prabhupada, the translator and commentator. By regular attendance in classes on the Bhagavatam and by rendering service unto the pure devotees, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed. And loving service unto the personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. Hare Krishna. So text number 15. Don't you have 22:15. Do I have the wrong chapter? But but anyway, mine starts with Rishi Uvacha, so no big thing. But oh, okay. Imperfect senses, strike again. Okay, thank you. Rishi Uvacha. Badam udvo dukamoham. Badam udvo dukamoham. Apratacha tavatmaja. Apratacha tavatmaja. Avayor anurupasav. Avayor anurupasav. Adya vavahi kovidhi. Bye bye. Adyo vaivahi kovidhi. Rishir uvacha. Badam udvo dukamoham. Apratacha tavatmaja. Anayor anurupo sav. Adyo vaivahi kovidhi. Please chant. Rishir uvacha. Badam udvo hudkamo tam. Apratacha tavatmaja. Avayor anurupo sav. Adyo vaivahi kovidhi. Rishir uvacha. Badam odvu kamoham. Aprata tatvaja. Avayor anurupasav. Adyo vaivahi kovidhi. Badam udvo dukamoham. Aprita chatavatmaja. Avayor anurupasav. Adyo vaivahi kovidhi. Chant. You get to chant. Adbadam kamoham. Aprotacha tavatmaja. Avayor anurupasav. Adyo vaivahi kovidhi. Rishi, the great sage Kardama. Udvacha said, Badham, very well. Udvaho kama, desirous to marry. Aham, I. Aprata, not promised to anyone else. Cha, and tava, your. Atmaja, daughter. Avayor, of us two. Anurupa, proper. Asau, this. Adya, first. Vaivahika, of marriage. Vidhi, ritualistic ceremony. Translation and the purport by Srila Prabhupada. The great sage replied, certainly I have a desire to marry, and your daughter has not yet married or given her word to anyone. Therefore, our marriage, according to the Vedic system, can take place. One more time. The great sage replied, certainly I have a desire to marry, and your daughter has not yet married or given her word to anyone. Therefore, our marriage, according to the Vedic system, can take place. Omaginati medandasya, jananjana salakaya, chaksu umilitam jena, tasmai, shri gurave namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, and my spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, very kindly forced open my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. Therefore, I am indebted to Srila Prabhupada and beg for service at his lotus feet, life after life. Hare Krishna. So as you're all very well familiar in the details of this story of the marriage of Kardama Muni and Devahuti, we've been going systematically through this chapter, and the exchange, it's quite noticeable to see the exchange between Kardama Muni and Swayambhuva Manu. Swayambhuva Manu, of course, the emperor of the world, bringing personally, that was another thing that was noted in the earlier verses, he's personally taking on the service or the duty, carrying out his prescribed duty to get his daughter married, but he's personally going about doing that according to her desire, but he didn't delegate it to somebody else to arrange. He very dutifully arranged it because of his attachment for his daughter and his desire to see that there was a nice situation created between them. So the exchange between Swayambhuva Manu and Kardama Muni has also been very enlightening and respectful. And even though, it, obviously not everything's described in one verse, but even though this was revealed to Kardama Muni by the Supreme Lord, that he would, that Swayambhuva Manu would come to his ashram within 3 days and bring his daughter and everything, still Kardama Muni's response doesn't include any of that, just yet anyway, in the next verses either. But it's there in the back of his mind, obviously. This is the arrangement of the Lord for me, in order to, again, to stress again, something that hasn't been stressed in a while. This was Kardama Muni's service given to him by his father, Lord Brahma, service to populate the universe. So therefore, he performed, he didn't go into it blindly. He decided that first, in order to be properly qualified to be a good progenitor, let me perform thousands of years of austerity. And if you notice, in the Vedic culture, this is the very system that anyone who's got a tad of understanding of the hierarchy of universal affairs, they realize, or they've heard, they understand to some degree that there's a person, there's a personality in charge of everything. And so if one wants to accumulate wealth, there's a person behind the wealth. So then they might do, you know, whatever, prescribed services, sacrifices to Kuvera, Goddess Durga, or whomever has a service of distributing wealth to people. They'll do tapasya in order to please them, in order to get qualifications to fulfill their desires. It's a very different system nowadays without any understanding of the hierarchy of how things work. Anyway, just mentioning that, and I am going to start the purport any minute now. But this is one of the glories of Srimad Bhagavatam. Not only is it giving us understanding of the pastimes and activities of the Supreme Lord and his devotees, but it's also giving us an understanding of how to execute our life in a God-conscious way in order to navigate the complexities of the material world and keep those complexities to the minimum so that we can keep God consciousness or progress in God consciousness as our main focus. And so therefore, although there's so many lofty philosophical concepts described throughout Srimad Bhagavatam, there's also practical tips or practical demonstrations on how to lead a life that will facilitate gradual progression in God consciousness. Okay, Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada's purport. There were many considerations by Kardama Muni before accepting the daughter of Swayambhuva Manu. Again, although there are so many considerations, it was the Supreme Lord that appeared to Kardama Muni and told him Swayambhuva Manu is going to bring his daughter. So you could say there wasn't any consideration there. But anyway, still, for our understanding, the most important is that Devahuti had first of all fixed her mind on marrying him. She did not choose to have any other man as her husband. That is a great consideration because female psychology dictates that when a woman offers her heart to a man for the first time, it is very difficult for her to take it back. So again, we're getting some insight also into Vedic culture and Vedic civilization, et cetera, et cetera. And in contrast to our present circumstances in the beginning parts of Kali Yuga, how different things have worked out to be or degraded to come. Anyway, so we're getting an insight into female psychology that when the younger woman's heart is first offered to a man, she gets extremely attached. And if that arrangement can be made at that point, then the likelihood that the marriage stays peaceful, even though, as all of you experienced members know, that there's difficulty in marriage all along. But if there's a peaceful understanding that this is my duty, this is my service, this is arrangement of the Supreme Lord for my benefit, then the flickering mind, which loves to flicker and actually can hardly ever stop flickering from sankalpa accepting and vikalpa rejecting the same thing. I want to do it. I don't want to do it. I like it. I don't like it. I like it under this circumstance. Anyway, et cetera, et cetera. The multitude of variations of accepting and rejecting come along. They're not supreme. Those accepting and rejecting is not the basis. But the overriding anchor, you could say, in this case, anchor is used as a good term, keeps this is my service to this person. We're sticking through it through thick and thin. Okay, so another consideration, or continuing on. Also, she had not married before. She was a virgin girl. All these considerations convinced Kardama Muni to accept her. Therefore, he said, yes, I shall accept your daughter under religious regulations of marriage. There are different kinds of marriages, of which first-class marriage is held by inviting a suitable bridegroom for the daughter and giving her in charity, well-dressed and well-decorated with ornaments, along with a dowry according to the means of the father. So there's also other considerations in those couple of sentences there, that the daughter, according to Vedic custom, Vedic Manu Samhita, the laws of inheritance are given from the father to the son. So the daughter doesn't get an inheritance after the father passes away. She's given her inheritance at this particular point, as a dowry, at the point of her marriage. She's given valuable jewels and ornaments. She's given valuable saris. She's also given, in general, she's given valuable household items, kitchen utensils made out of metal, brass or silver or gold or whatever, so that they have some value, not plastic that breaks and after 6 months or whatever, has no value, but valuable utensils, pots, pans, this, that, whatever it might be needed, so that if by chance there is difficulty in the future, these things have valuable. They can be traded for necessities, other necessities. So according to the means of the father, she's given, the daughter's given a share of her inheritance. She's given a share of her inheritance at her marriage. And as we've heard in how things have degraded to such positions in Kali Yuga, sometimes it's, you know, quite common to hear that there's argument over the dowry. And the dowry, if the dowry is oftentimes taken from the wife, you know, whatever, so many things. Sometimes even the wife is rejected because the dowry isn't big enough. So all these things have signs of the degradation of a system that is, again, accepted by sophisticated persons or cultured persons. Okay, so Prabhupada's now talking about the different kinds of marriages. The first-class marriage is held by inviting a suitable bridegroom for the daughter and giving her in charity, well-dressed and decorated with ornaments, along with a dowry according to her to the means of the father. So another thing Srila Prabhupada mentions in other purports in this section, he talks about how this is the first class system, that the father, the parents get together and they make the arrangement, and the daughter is given in charity to a suitable boy, and not that the boy goes to the father of the girl and begs for the daughter in marriage. Which, when I was reading that, I was, you just see how in not even today, but when I was younger, that was sometimes the case. The boy would go to the father and ask permission to marry the girl, and that was considered very special, very respectable in our society. And Prabhupada says that is totally, you know, un-Vedic, that the boy asked for the girl. And yet our situation is such, well, that's considered like high class compared to what happens. Okay. There are other kinds of marriage, such as Gandharva marriage and marriage by love, which are also accepted as marriage. Even if one is forcibly kidnapped and later on accepted as a wife, that is also accepted. But Kardama Muni accepted the first class way of marriage because the father was willing and the daughter was qualified. She had never offered her heart to anyone else. All these considerations made Kardama Muni agree to accept the daughter of Swayambhuva Manu. So Srila Prabhupada, well, in Vedic literatures, Bhagavatam and Mahabharata and everything, explain other incidences of other types of marriage. One that came to my mind reading this section was about when Bhishma was searching for a wife for his, who was that? Vichitravirya was his brother, right? Anyway, so one of the, he was searching for a wife and he went and captured Amba, Ambalika, and Amba somebody else. Ambika, thank you. Amba, Ambika, and Ambalika. Okay, so he brought them to Vichitravirya to marry. And there was only one little catch in that story, was that Amba, the eldest daughter, had given her heart to Shalva. She wanted to marry Shalva. She didn't want to marry anyone else. And so, but this is what's being explained. The psychology is that she had her heart set on marrying Shalva, although the agreement hadn't been made or the arrangements hadn't been made. But previously, but when she was taken, she was like totally against getting married to Vichitravirya and protested vehemently. And Bhishma, for capturing here, somehow or other, he was entangled in being then. Well, okay. She didn't want to marry Vichitravirya, and so Bhishma gave her permission. That's what it was. Bhishma gave her permission to go back home then and make her own arrangements. So when she went back home, she was rejected at home. Shalva didn't want to marry her because she had already been, quote unquote, taken by another man. So it got a little complicated. So then, her mind and heart set on one program didn't work, and the other program didn't work. So she goes back and decides that she should marry Bhishma. And he had already taken his vow. That also wasn't working. That was a dead-end street, too, because he had already taken his vow that he was going to stay celibate and this and that and this and that. So she approached anyway, it was a complicated thing, and I'm sure you're familiar with the little details. Parshuram and then Bhishma and then this and the fight, and then Bhishma defeats Parshuram and still won't marry her. And so she goes off to the mountains and worships Lord Shiva. For what? For revenge, so that she can, you know, take birth as a male and whatever. So that's the nature of a mind that gets attached to a certain thing and doesn't give up the attachments. Whereas sometimes it's explained the mind is like has an on and off switch. You know, that switch, when we switch the on switch to our attachments, we switch it on and we're attached to some plan or this or that, and there's difficulty in executing and everything, we become frustrated and sometimes resort to illegal means to try to, you know. But if we just switch the switch, it's in one sense really simple, and in the other sense, practically speaking, it's really hard to switch the thought process of the mind to another path and say, whatever the plan of the Lord is, that's what's going to happen. But we can see by that process, and this is one of the many, many, many lessons of Srimad Bhagavatam, that Srimad Bhagavatam is giving us the process to understand that the Supreme Person, giving us examples to understand that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the super controller. He's in control of everything, and nothing, not even a blade of grass moves unless the Lord sanctions it. And so when the Lord is sanctioning something, then you know that that's what's going to happen. And when the Lord doesn't sanction something, you can also understand that's not going to happen. And there's this story of Chitraketu, the grand emperor or king or whatever, got married, didn't have a child, took on another wife, no children was produced, and et cetera, up until he had millions of wives. And still no child. Now, looking at it, we could say, well, it's pretty obvious it wasn't meant to be, right? But because the mind is attached to the idea, it goes and thinks, well, let me do this, let me do that, let me do that. And this isn't a criticism of these great souls. They're oftentimes the examples of the great souls are, some of the examples are to tell us what to do, and some of their examples are to tell us what not to do. And that's a thing, because we learn from both sets of examples what to do and what not to do. So not being able to give up the desire for having a child, but it was also his responsibility too. You had to give him credit for that. As a king, he needed an heir. That's a qualified heir, as so to speak. But so he approached the sages, and they said, okay, you'll have a son. His name's going to be Harsh Ashoka. Good luck with that. He'll be a source of happiness, and he'll be a source of distress. Oh, yeah. So you think, yeah, he'll be a source of distress, just like he might talk back to me. I'll give him a little slap or, you know, whatever, you know, something mild. Yeah. But anyway, so the circumstance there ended up quite disastrous, but ultimately for his good, his enlightenment. So he became enlightened by that whole experience and decided, I better take to God realization more seriously. So here, these are, these are some of the lessons that are imparted through these descriptions of incidents that had happened in the far distant past, etc. But they're for our instruction. And also, too, Srimad Bhagavatam is giving us the highest explanation of theistic philosophy, but it's giving us a practical way to apply it in our lives also, in our day-to-day life, across the board of time. In the Satya Yuga, it applies. In Treta, you know, in Kali Yuga, also applies. We make our attempt to fix our mind on the Supreme Lord, accept His direction and instructions in our lives, and by approaching pure-hearted souls and hearing from them about the process of God consciousness, then in our very simple day-to-day life, we get instructions and examples and experiences that can help us gradually make step-by-step progress towards the supreme goal in life. Keep our life simple so that we'll have time to execute our Krishna consciousness duties and services and stuff, and that way make continual progress. Not to have our lifestyle so complicated that it just maintenance of the body takes up your whole activity. So this story of the marriage of Kardama Muni to Devahuti, it's going to continue on for about 7 or 8 more verses. And then, as you already know, the Kardama Muni in the next few verses, I think he's gonna give his conditions on marriage. I'll accept her. She's a qualified girl. I'll accept her on the condition that she realizes after being impregnated by me, I'm gonna renounce. So all of that is all very clearly upfront information, and both parties are agreeing to the thing, and so that'll be explained, and then we'll hear about these amazing teachings of Kapila, the son of Devahuti and Kardama Muni. So, Hare Krishna. How's everything? Do you want to ask any questions or correct me? Or I couldn't remember the exact number. It's a lot of wives. Was it? Do you remember Pundarik? How many wives Chitraketu had? You could ask your Google. Google will know. Sri Google will tell you. You ask your Google. Yeah. That's a big household, eh? And none of them were neglected either, except after the kid was born. Yeah. Like, how is that? Yeah. In that age. It wasn't that they drank contaminated water with whatever. But somehow or other. We're seeing it from our position. We have no strings attached to the story or emotions attached to the people. And we say, well, it was so obvious. But you can see the difference of when you're entangled in something and your mind and heart are entangled in it. It's not easy to see things clearly. That's why, again, stress is given. Association with the devotees is so, so, so important. And we need to keep our life so that we always have that association. We can always have that association and somebody can help us. You got the number, Pundarik? They were up until that point, until they got up to Kali Yuga, and then they weren't submissive anymore. Yeah. It wasn't his fault, it was the wife's fault.
What is that? You know, you deconstruct it. What is that? It could be more than that.
Hold on, Ragatmika wants to say something. Yes, dear.
Okay.
It's coming as fast as it can.
So I thought this, you were describing the dowry as these household amenities, you know?
Yes.
Yeah. But also, isn't it just, it's given to the husband, is it not? It's the exchange of charity, the dowry.
My limited understanding, and from a class I heard also on this verse, the dowry is given to the wife. It's given to the daughter. It's hers. Now, it doesn't mean that she doesn't, quote-unquote, share it, utilize it for the family situation, but it's considered hers. And it's also considered very sinful for that dowry to be usurped from her unwillingly, you know, by the family or the husband particularly.
Okay, because if the husband side complains that it's not enough.
Yeah. No, well, I think that's a symptom of the degradation of Kali Yuga.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just like where previously even in our life, it was considered very high class if the boy asked the father first if he could marry the daughter, where according to Vedic civilization and etiquette, it was arranged by the parents first, and that wasn't acceptable. So now the degradation of Kali Yuga, things have changed in their meaning and purpose. So the dowry was to entice the family to take, is or was. Dowries are illegal now, I think. Anyway, to entice the family to take the daughter. Yeah, that's my understanding. Okay. Stita D, you have any other comments you want to make? Okay. Okay, another question came. That's because Karnapur got too far away from you, then you had to come back. Okay.
We can see the advantage, you know, on the side of a young girl, her first attachment, and marry them at that young age. But of course, this has been tried and done in ISKCON, and often, most oftentimes,
yeah, not with very good results,
not
right?
Not a good result. Why?
Also because again, the degradation of Kali Yuga.
Yeah.
You know, we're bombarded constantly. Just do it. Just do what you want. That'll make you happy. We're bombarded constantly with that. And even if we have, hang in there, Stita D, you're coming. And even if a person has an understanding that I should act like this and should I, still, there's so much bombardment that you even doubt your own self. Yes, Stita D, Prabhu.
You're blaming the internet again?
Yeah, I am.
I mean, they don't know what they're doing. I mean, they try it, but you don't have the extended family, you don't have the support culture,
yeah, exactly.
The flip side of what you're saying. Mm-hmm. You know, the kids, my limited understanding is they have these child marriages, but it's not like the kids go off and get a job.
Yeah, also.
You know, they just sort of know and they play house, you know?
Yeah.
All this stuff isn't there, and there's no generational experience.
Yes, and there's no precedence, too. There's no one else doing it. So there's all of those things, yeah.
I mean, you see, like, you're a kid growing up, and your parents are all busy working, and you go to your grandparents, what the hell's going on here? You know, mom, dad's nuts, and this and that. But, you don't have that depth of cultural experience, which
yes.
is basically what we're saying. So, I mean, you can just say fifth-generation arranged marriages. So, I mean, it's basically we need to go steady, because otherwise we're all going to be all over the place. It's going to be a big house here. So let's just, pair up and see how long, at least those ideals are there.
Thanks for that very philosophical comment. Kamala, you want to add anything? Okay. You're all dismissed. Thank you very kindly. Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai, Srimad Bhagavatam, Ki Jai, Gaur Premanandi, Hari Hari Bol.